Terrific. The recording has started. Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks, Mariam. Okay. Okay, so good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming to our first session this morning. So basically, for this session, we are trying to prepare for the meeting with Fadi and to discuss what points or question we want to raise with him. So that's basically what we will try to achieve today. If we have some time left, maybe we can prepare for the two other plenary session too, and so try to see what we have some topics and try how we can introduce and what we want to elaborate there. So okay, so it's a quite simple agenda, and maybe we can start it to see if because I think from yesterday maybe some people couldn't ask some question. If we can start from there and see what other points we want to develop or specific topics. So yep.
I'd like to know who ate all the bagels.
Any volunteer want to start? Avery?
No, thank you.
That I like that I have to do all the talk. Okay.
Would you like me to improvise for a second?
Yeah.
Thank you all. Okay, good morning, everyone. I guess the question is first, what's the most pressing set of issues from the standpoint of NCSG generally, both with regard to policy matters and ICANN internal, structural, operational, procedural matters, and so on, that we did not discuss with him yesterday? As one who has heard Fadi many, many times, I had, of course, the strong feeling of having heard much of what was said yesterday before. So I think what we will probably benefit from doing is not going over familiar ground again, but trying to strike out in some new directions. One possibility I thought might be of interest, and this goes to what we would talk about in the next plenary with the CSG, this question of the public interest, which I think we have a shared set of concerns about. I mean, we all think about the public interest perhaps in different ways, but I think we all recognize that as civil society people, the idea is inescapably part of the lexicon and overarching framework of our action in some respects. And is, of course, deeply contested within the context of ICANN. And there are these public interest commitments, for example, that have been added to the new GTLDs, which are controversial in some ways, and which I believe the CSG people would like to raise with us when we raise public interest concepts this afternoon. So we might try to engage Fadi in a discussion about the PICs, and how he sees the way they've worked. Are they an effective mechanism for achieving the kinds of safeguards and public interest protections that civil society people would like to see more generally? How does he see the record of implementation of this? So on. That could be one topic where he might have something useful new to say to us. So that was just one suggestion, and Steffi's got another one.
Okay. Steffi, wait. I want to respond quickly to...
Sorry?
Just I want to ask a quick question to Bill. If we talk with Fadi about public interest, I'm just wondering if he will think about the public responsibility in the whole... that's the idea that they started with one of those high-level panels, so how we can
avoid to go into that area?
Well, I wouldn't want to avoid that. I mean, I think that whatever thinking has been done from his office and his team and the leadership of the relevant bits of the community are all fair game for discussion here. This is something that he's had some interface with, and it's a broad concern. So, I wouldn't mind if he talked about. Well, there was a strategy panel that took up some of these questions, but in a kind of vague way. And there was also my mind is blanking. I haven't had enough coffee. Under Nora now on his staff, they have this. It's a division. A division on public responsibility, which probably most of us don't really know that much what they're really supposed to be doing. They've held a couple of meetings during ICANN meetings, usually at times that conflicted completely with everything else we're doing, like the cross-community working group and IG and other things. So I've never been to any of those sessions to hear what they're talking about and how they see that public responsibility initiative. So that'd be fine, too, to hear about from my standpoint. My apologies. I am Bill Drake.
Okay. Thanks, Bill. Yes, Stephanie, please.
We had the start of a discussion on public interest yesterday, and I think it's a great topic, but I wanted to speak more generally about this opportunity to talk to Fadi. Fadi was very transparent with us yesterday and told us he lost his at-risk pay because he hasn't been consulting with the community enough. Now, the way I see consulting with the community, it's not our chance to interrogate him and ask him what he thinks about public interest commitments. It's our chance to get our own act together and come up with a common position and present that position to him. In particular, he invited us to send him 2 one-liners yesterday, you know, and I'm going to forget them, but it was basically what would make ICANN look good and what can I do to help, right? And rather than have 14 of us or however many there are here each fire them off and have 6 the same, it would be nice if we could coordinate and agree on or disagree, I don't care, but, you know, have something that looked like an NCSG coordinated position for him as opposed to a sort of, well, so-and-so says this and so-and-so says the dead opposite. I can ignore that, right? That's just a thought. And I think the same thing, of course, applies on the public interest commitments because I think it's a dog's breakfast and we stand to lose a lot. Apologies to non-English speakers. Dog's breakfast meaning complete and utter mess.
Thanks. First on that one, we already submitted our 2 answers. Those were supposed to be done yesterday by the end of the thing, so that exercise is probably already completed, the submitting of those 2 sentences. We could probably do something else, but that writing them down on a piece of paper and giving them to them exercise is done. So us spending the amount of time it takes us to get to a consensus position on, you know, what would be good to see by the end of the year and how can I improve questions is sort of an opportunity to pass by, I think. In terms of the picks, if we do bring that one up as a topic, and I also have absolutely no objection to getting into public interest, I think it's something we have to get into. We can't let the territory be owned by others. We can't say, oh, we're afraid of where this might end up in the discussion, therefore we don't want to discuss it. I think that would be suicidal. In terms of the picks themselves, one of the points to ask is the lack of third-party access to them. In other words, the way the picks are being written, as I understand it, it's only an injured party that has standing to bring up any pick-type issues. And I think that if there are picks and if they're going to be a viable instrument, then there has to be options where groups like NCSG or ACLU or whomever can go and actually, you know, bring them into contention. So that would be an area on the PICS discussion itself that we might want to push, is the third party access however they're doing it. I mean, I don't know how they're handling to the dispute resolution. Can a third party initiate one? That's the records.
Thanks, Avery. I see Lori and Sam and you and Bill. Yes, Lori, please.
Hi, I was going to just second Bill's idea. I think this idea of discussing the public interest, well, I understand Stephanie's point about getting a consolidated statement. I think the discussion at least could be started here informally in terms of helping us prepare what that consolidated statement might look like somewhere down the road. But I think this public interest issue goes absolutely back to points that I was raising yesterday about governance and the story about, well, this is what the Attorney General will or will not do. It's all related to the idea that ICANN is a nonprofit organization with a public mission.
So we have Q just to, so Sam, and then we go to Bill. Yes, sir.
Okay, I'd like to make a comment to me about the key performance indicators, because what they're measuring is, in an outreach, what happens in terms of what those people do in terms of volunteer labor inside ICANN. And in many cases, and especially increasingly in NPOC, our measure of impact is what those people do back in their community. And that's not even on the, it doesn't move the gauge on their meters. They're not even looking at that. So if we do something like we just did with the European Parliament, that doesn't turn up on their key performance indicators, even though it was on DNS and domain names.
Just to reply to Stephanie, I think it's not an either-or choice. I would like to hear him have to articulate how he sees the experience so far. We do have 90 minutes with him. And then we, in turn, reply with our views. That said, our views are still very much in formation. We haven't even begun to have a serious conversation. So we're nowhere near having any kind of coherent position on it. We have only kind of concerns that would fall under the rubric. And the point, I think, is to try to establish the premise with him and with the board and with everybody else that we ought to begin a dialogue, a serious dialogue that's backed up by some actual evidence, maybe even research, so that we can start to come to a more informed and broader-based discussion of this. As I look at it, there's general questions of, you know, what would constitute the global public interest in the context of ICANN, and then there's questions about what different responsibilities different actors would have in that context. And those vary. I mean, so what GTLD suppliers would have to do to be consistent with a public interest broad conception might be different from what other parties would have to do. So it's worth beginning a discussion with him and getting support from him for trying to move that forward in a coherent way, and hopefully even putting it on the agenda in Buenos Aires if we do a conference.
Just want to make a comment. I think we started the discussion in NCSG mailing list, and it's going to going on for a while, and I agree with you, we need to develop some, maybe, I'm not sure, in that time we talked about the position paper or some document that we can try to cover several aspects. So, please bring it again.
Yeah, so, I mean, the whole public interest thing has got a whole bundle of different things that are sort of wrapped up in it. The actual question of whether or not we should have a definition of the public interest and within ICANN, which I don't particularly think we should. I think we should have a process for settling public interest questions, which is a different thing. But I even think getting to that dialogue is going to be complicated, because we have a lot of much more specific issues that are sort of in one way or another already embedded in this question. The one for the that the board in particular will have to think about very soon is they will have ALAC and so on jumping up and down about the wanting to slow down the sensitive strings delegation, which we know the CSG are also pretty keen on, and we should actually, I don't think we have a consensus position on that, but we should at least come to some kind of position. We've also got the, I don't necessarily share the same concerns about sensitive strings because I share the many people's opinion about, you know, well, let's not encourage GAC overreach and so on. But we do, but I also see that, you know, should we be saying that, yeah, the board, you could ignore ALAC, it's fine. You know, maybe we want to see that, you know, we may want to talk about that, how we feel about that process issue. We've also got, but I think we will have to get into a serious debate about PICs and the how the public interest is articulated through that. I've made my opinion pretty clear in some of the discussions earlier, which is that I basically think the entire PIC process as it exists is just terrible, and anything we can do to sort of revisit that, have a proper process instead of sort of something lifted up with the staff and GAC, and is bound to be better. I actually think some of the things that the process that Ron Andruff was floating around a few months ago is worth looking at as a starting point, which I didn't really get much support from us here. The PICs, I know I've said this before on the list, but I just want to make it make the point again, which is that the PICs as they exist are terrible. It's not just that the process is terrible, as Avery says, there's no way for, you know, there's things like, how does a third party get involved, or is there any way for them to be revisited and revised, and things like that are really not well defined. But most of the actual commitments that are in delegated strings with a PIC at the moment are terrible. The process by which is decided what the public interest commitments be is essentially the GAC sort of puts up its objections, which it does in typical GAC fashion. They put up a big billboard a long way away, and applicants kind of guess what they think the GAC wants. Often they guess terribly. A lot of the delegated PICs include a commitment to protect globally protected marks, which was an idea floated around, policy idea floated around by Bruce Tonkin, on the board, and has conflicted himself out of this stuff, but you know, certainly was floating this particular policy. I'm not implying Bruce did anything wrong here, but he was the source of one of the people floating that around as a policy, and a lot of applicants picked it up, and it's actually rejected as policy. Like, we didn't just not pick it up. The policy process looked at it and went, no, we don't want it. It's policy that came from nowhere, has no legal basis that people agree on, and yet it's in most of the PICs. The PICs are full of just terrible things. They do not support the public interest at the moment. And partly it's because we have no definition, partly it's because we have no terrible process. We are blundering in the dark, and while we are blundering around in the dark, we are kicking over the furniture and smashing things that we should be keeping. It's what we have now is so terrible, we should fix it. What we've left is that we've already got a trail of wreckage to kind of piece our way through as we try and get to somewhere useful. So this is going to be a difficult process, but I think that doesn't mean we should ignore it. We've got to start working on it. I think it is one of the things where, because of our natural, not everybody, because many people in NCSG do not want to encourage GAC overreach, and I'm certainly one of them. I certainly think many of these sensitive strings are nowhere near as sensitive as the GAC thinks they are. But because we've been avoiding this discussion, avoiding the issue, I think our voice has been very much lacking, and we've got to get together and jump in. So that's my rant. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, David. Klaus?
Just thank you for that very important contribution. Thank you very much. Just to support Sam, I think we really should stay on a practical level and try to get some of the performance indicators discussed. Because I think it's important for us that we are not, as it sounds at the moment, to be a little bit sarcastic, is the performance indicator is we are successful if we integrate more free labor into the ICANN organizations, working groups, and things like that. But I think it's absolutely clear that there needs to be a step before. In order to recruit the free labor, you need to make internet governance a whole process and these things relevant to people, and you have to get the people there. So I think that should be, I would be interested in expressing that. Maybe as my second point, I'm completely out of scope. I'm really, really worried about the GNS overview. And I think it's giving the amount of interviews done and giving what's I think it will be a huge problem and actually not a very good process. So maybe we should at least be able to indicate and saying, hey, be careful, or what's going on there. It might not be that what you expect. That's all. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Klaus. I see Avery. Okay. So then I guess that's you, Stephanie. Okay. Okay, so can we go with Stephanie and then back to you? Yes, Stephanie, please.
Thanks. I wanted to respond to the comments on my earlier intervention. To Avery, I'm not really afraid of this topic. I just would like to see us develop a strategy before we embark on a discussion with the CEO. That's all. And because I expect we are going to be all over the map, and let's develop a strategy so that we don't look like we are a house divided. With respect to the CEO admitting that his entire priority this year, well, not his entire priority, but a significant priority will be consulting with the stakeholder groups. Yes, we were given a little post-it note exercise yesterday. We've all done these at management learning exercises, I presume. We want to take the opportunity to turn that into a meaningful dialogue with the CEO, where we're not just hearing, because everybody criticizes Fadi for, you know, being all show and no follow-through when it comes to stakeholder engagement. And so we've got the opportunity to say, okay, if you're serious about this, here's how we'd like to conduct it. Quarterly, we'd like to give you, you know, our feedback or something. I don't have it all worked out yet. I was surprised yesterday at what he said. I'm just thinking that would be a good process for the policy committee to embark on, and it would show that we had our house somewhat coordinated here. So with respect to the PICs, I totally agree with what David is saying. I'm just worried about bringing it up here in this meeting when the business community has its act together and we probably don't. That's all.
Okay, I get to comment on two comments. One is, but in this particular meeting, we won't be meeting with the with the CSG, we'll be meeting just with him. In terms of the review, Klaus, I'm as concerned as you are, for sure, but I don't think Fadi has anything at all to do with that. I think that's it's a board issue, it's a sick issue, it's not a Fadi issue. So I agree with you, but I'm not sure talking to Fadi has any effect.
You're absolutely right, and that's why I started that part of my when I said I'm not sure if it will be.
Okay.
I was just saying might be. I was
okay.
Just testing the water.
Okay, so
Any further comments? I'm trying to make sense of all the intervention here. So we are going to bring the topic of public interest, and I see several proposal, but how, I mean, in practical terms, how we should proceed here, how you think that we can make sense of the discussion with Fedi, and then even if we can have a follow-up, so if there is any suggestion. And at the same time, I will ask if anybody in the remote participation want to intervene. Not right there. Okay. And nobody? Okay. So, other than the topic of public interest, what an other issue that you want to bring, I mean, to discuss with him? Yes, David.
Do we want to talk in this group about engagement and that sort of thing, and including ICANN engagement in broader internet governance and things like that? I mean, I know it's an issue that some people care about. I don't know if this is the right time to talk about it. I mean, I know that he'll give us his... I mean, there's no point in asking about Net Mundial initiatives and things like that, but because he's already answered that effectively. We'll get the same answer again. But do we want to talk about, you know, what is this reorganization of engagement going to look like in practical terms to us and things like that? Just a suggestion.
Yes, here, I mean, coming from the, we have that cross-community working group in internet governance, and we have that discussion many times, is how we can, participate in this process. I mean, because for now we have the ICANN and ICANN stuff in several fora, but just the community is not really included. And so we have this cross-community working group, and we are trying to be more involved and to liaise with the ICANN staff. So, yeah, we can bring this if we get some more practical suggestion here. And, Matt, you want to add something?
I was just going to support what David was suggesting, that it's good to see. It will be good to get an impression as to how that engagement will be put into effect practically.
Walid Al-Saka, for the record. I also support the idea of getting more engagement and to focus, particularly for us in the civil society, where we engage already with many different bodies. For example, I am affiliated to the Internet Society at large, also affiliated with IGF, regional IGFs, and many different organizations that I can seek to support our stance within NCUC and perhaps for the overall body, the ICANN. So there is room for that, particularly for us, which we are less constrained than the commercial, I think, and the other institutions.
I'd just like to, it's Adrian Hall from Extensia. I'd just like to ask for a point of clarity from my perspective. Is there a measure of engagement and successful engagement in terms of who, how many, and to what level they're engaged, what represents a success in relation to the engagement and involvement of the public? Well, we're talking here about the engagement, but how do we know if that's successful or been successful at a point later towards the end of the year? How do we know it's been successful? Where's the measure?
I think Fadi did actually answer that yesterday. He said that, you know, the KPI he's giving his team is people who new people getting involved in working groups and other volunteer processes. So, I don't know if that's the answer we want, but that's certainly it's certainly one of the things we want. But it's that's certainly he has a KPI. He's got his answer to that one, I think.
Trying to answer that's exactly the point I tried to make a while ago, is it looks like that what Fadi and the board are looking for is how many people are in the working groups, how many people are engaging and taking active part in the policy process. And sorry, I'm all for that, and I'm completely agreeing with that. The big point for me, and I think also for the MGSG, is there needs to be, especially in civil society, a step before, which is basically saying, this is relevant for you. We can't all the time wait for somebody engaging with ICANN and accepting it, and then they don't understand what for. What do they get out of it? Why should they do that? And that has, I think, for example, NCUC and NPOC as constituencies, a lot of relevance, because we need also to spend money and activity and time and so on in creating that space and creating that relevance, and then taking the people from there into the next into that step of engagement in ICANN and in the working groups directly. And I think we should really takes the time in trying to explain that or indicating that to Fadi and saying, here, this is important for us.
Okay, everybody can raise a question. That's personal opinion. When I hear KPI, always wondering is how much we can really measure objectively. There are a lot of things that are subjective. And so that's why if we go toward this, everything is, there is indicators, we will measure is how much we will lose in practice. Yes.
John, yes. I think we just have to drive home one point here, and that's that the KPIs are an example of this. It looks at how it draws focus in and how it draws people in, and its outreach, it measures success two ways, the standard way, how many people turned up, and then how many of those people got drawn in, and what it's not looking at is what is the impact out there. And for the civil society NGO community, that's the main issue, is what kind of impact are we having out there? Are we raising the depth and breadth of awareness? And out of that, there will be some people who come in. But even in the fellowships, it's as important that somebody comes to a fellowship and goes away with the fire in their belly to work on internet governance out there, even if they don't do much here. But we're not picking that up. So the KPIs will say, well, all that stuff's, nothing's happening over there. It's what they don't measure, either qualitatively or quantitatively, that has me worried.
I agree. Sticking with those KPIs is also it means ICANN is looking only at how well they are continuing to do the current model. Something I thought Klaus said yesterday that I thought was very good was that we need to enable people to come in, come in just for an issue that they care about, and then we don't need to think about long-term engagement. We need to work out how people can engage on a particular issue, and we need to do it well, because currently the only mechanism we essentially have for people who want to just engage on a particular issue and don't want to commit to being part of a whole working group is the comment period, which is comment process. Apart from the fact it's terribly managed, not necessarily well managed by staff and so on, it's technologically from the 80s, and I mean things like the comment process that they used in Net Mundial, where people were able to not just look at a text to see what other comment on specific bits of a text and see what other people things like that, where people can dive in, be part of a process and go, would be something we should.
It's a conference. Are you getting day for a minute?
So someone in remote participation want to speak? You know. So yes, Martin, please.
Yes, thank you. In regarding the last comments, I think I have a special approach I can give, because I was in the fellowship literally 1 year ago. And approaching to the NCSG was my goal after my first fellowship. It was really hard to understand what was going on, what was the dynamic, or how it worked. The way the constituencies work with each other and with the NCSG, that actually took me probably 6 months to actually understand fully that what I was getting was right and I wasn't confused. And I think it could be really useful for the NCSG. I agree, first of all, with David on the of thinking of new ways of communication. That's for sure. Another thing is we could really use some sort of mentoring program, because if probably not me, if everyone in here that for the first time came to NCSG had someone that didn't only waited for questions, but actually reached out and told him, like, this is how things work, these are the subjects that we're discussing, this is how we organize the discussion, that would really, 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 really help a lot that fellows, and when I mean fellows in this case, it's not only just fellows, but newcomers in general, that just don't run away. It took, for me, a lot of energy, and it's not a bad thing that I wanted and invested that energy. I'm not complaining, but what I'm saying is if we really want that to fully develop, we could really help them get there faster and easier. And I think we have a really great asset, and this was the question I had, or the comment I had yesterday for Fadi and Ian made, so other people could, is we have a really big asset in ICANN regarding the knowledge that people, collaborators have, and we are not reaching out. ICANN shouldn't only have specific programs of reaching out. Each one of us should reach out as much as we can, and that would really help a lot. And I think a civil society that's specifically basic, because businesses, it's not that hard to find each other. They know who they are. You can actually go to a base and count them in every country. But civil society is decentralized and globalized. We have to reach out and represent, if you may, thousands of people, the public interest in its almost most basic meaning. And I think that if each one of us became, or it's not each one, but if we really make an effort of mentoring people into how NCSG works and how can they engage, we could really make a big progress on engagement, diversity, and less work. The more people engage in NCSG, the more hands and brains we will have. We're always complaining about the amount of work we have, the long emails and 1,000 working groups. This investing in mentoring could really help ease the work in the long term, or not so long.
Martin, I just want to comment. I thanks for the comment and suggestion, but I think it's more for NCHG. It's not really kind of question to Fadi itself. I mean, if we want to have this mentoring program and to support the members, it's really our kind of our role. I mean, not sure what we can get. I mean, response from Fadi will say, yeah, that's good, that's it. But it's more really for us. I think Marilyn and then Stephanie want to.
Thank you, Rafika. Just would like to come back to a point that I made yesterday regarding us taking the opportunity to raise the issue of human rights in ICANN, not only in the next session or open issues, but also with Fadi, because I think that maybe this would be an opportunity to have a feeling of whether he supports or not, how he sees it, if he could make a bridge with the board, because as we have seen in the meeting that we had with board members on the last ICANN meeting, there is a complete or very large lack of understanding of the importance of those issues, what they mean, what is the scope, how they impact on ICANN policies. So I think that maybe this would be an opportunity to reach out to someone that maybe would have the political leeway and the relation with the board, and maybe give us some suggestions on ways to raise it in a way that we could reach out to other communities and constituencies outside the NCSG and how to develop this topic in a more sustainable and effective manner. So I think it's an opportunity that we should take.
Thanks, Maria. Stephanie?
Yes, on the human rights, I take it, or in general, public interest. Yes, no, I mean
public interest. And what's the best way for us to communicate with the board?
Okay. Well, was my first ICANN meeting as a incoming board member last October, and I listened and I thought the way it was presented, your concern about human rights was done very thoughtfully, and I was myself surprised by the, how shall I put it, cool reaction given to the proposal by the board members. I think a lot of it has to do, it was, I think, towards the end of a long day when people are tired and it's the same thing all over, and it creates negative dynamics. Now, the question you ask, how best to present it, I think clearly the point Stephanie made is if you come up with a coherent proposal, and you show that this is something where there is a unanimity of you within this group, it has the best chance of being listened to. But then also maybe look for allies across in other constituencies, in other groups, to see whether there is support for that. I think the discussion yesterday on the GNSO review, that there is commonalities within this house, I think that sort of thing is very helpful. But if one group comes up with something which doesn't seem to have the support outside, I think it is very difficult to get traction with the board. So I don't know whether I have answered the question, but I think looking for allies rallying around an issue that may be within the GAC, that may also be among the, there are issues where there are commonalities of views with the commercial stakeholder groups, and that I think clearly helps. But the current format of constituency day I think is a difficult format, and that take it that nobody really likes it. So there is maybe also merit in thinking, are there better ways of doing it? And, well, Dave and I, we had just had a discussion over coffee with Fadi. And, I mentioned what the comments Avri had made yesterday, that there is trust at the personal level within the ICANN family, but there is a lack of structural trust, and there is obviously, and we had actually a good discussion, and what can we do to improve that? Accountability clearly is one of the key elements, transparency is a key element, but I think also the lack of clarity on the roles and responsibilities of different actors. And Fadi himself mentioned yesterday that relates also to his role and the role of the board and. There clearly is room for improvement. And I think also a key element is our checks and balances, that we know how decisions get made and where are the boundaries for each of the decision-making processes. So, but there is no easy answer, I think. But my suggestion, well, I listened to the discussion with interest, and yes, I think to raise your concerns with Fadi, even if he's not the one driving it, but that he is aware that there are concerns about an issue, that makes much sense. And yes, I think the point Bill made, we heard him a lot on many of these issues, but it's more important actually that he listens to what you have to say. And I was actually impressed with his comments yesterday. It was a very fairly critical self-assessment that he tries, he has listened and he tries to consult more. I think one of his problems is he is very much a CEO who likes to bulldoze his way through, and he's good at talking, but he has to learn to be better at listening, I think. And he said he's willing to do so, so let him listen to your concerns. And yes, I think the more united and coherent you are with any proposal, the better it is. These are my brief comments. I'm not sure whether that helps.
Thanks, Marcus. Just a comment about the constituency day. There was a slight change. Unfortunately, we got as always the last slot, but there is no anymore the GAG meeting in that day. So maybe the board members will feel more relieved and not stressed. Okay, so we have to Billy want to comment, and then Sam, and then please, Bill.
I think one thing is clear. The best way to communicate with the board is not the NCSG meeting with the board. I think those meetings are horrible, frankly, truly horrible. And the last one was especially so. We came in with a set of questions to them, and they started reacting very defensively about issues we had not raised, that people had pressed them on in earlier meetings during the day. And we spent a big chunk of the time listening to them go on and on about stuff that wasn't our concern and not responding to what we were actually saying. And part of that is, I think, that somehow over the years, an accumulated mentality has been entrenched in the board where they view the meeting with us as some sort of an antagonistic encounter. And there are particular dyads, particular pairings of people who particularly don't work well together and respond to each other based on all kinds of legacy, background, historical perceptions, and so on. And when that starts to set the tone in the room, pretty soon you just can't cut through it anymore, you know? So you've got people, you know, when Mike Silver said at the last meeting, "Oh, this feels like an interrogation," I thought, oh, my God, this is really not the way we want to be interacting with the board. I mean, I don't think we were interrogating them, but if they come in thinking that it's an interrogation, then we really got something bad going on. And so what I suggested to David Olive and others was, can we please stop meeting, first of all, in that format with a few of us sitting at the front of the board like the Inquisitors, and then everybody else sitting out in an audience, and we, you know, throw questions to them and so on and so forth. I think that doesn't work. We should be meeting in this kind of a room, you know, a U-shaped room with everybody around us, meeting on a collegial peer-to-peer basis and having a dialogue. I also, Marcus and I were chatting about this. It would probably help if both sides weren't on Skype with each other the whole time through the meeting, saying, "What the hell's wrong with this guy?" I think both sides are sort of like doing this thing that's like spinning us into a mindset where, you know, we're reacting to each other in a way that is, there's a measure of groupthink that's there, and it's not positive groupthink. So we need to find a way to break all of that dynamic down. I agree with Rafiq that the fact that they no longer will be seeing the GAC right after us should help a bit, because the GAC meeting makes them clench up pretty bad, as you can imagine. So they come in, they've been screamed at by the registries and the registrars and the CSG, and then they get to us, and then they're looking forward to the GAC, which is going to be great fun. And so they're on the defensive, you know, and we don't want to talk to them on the defensive. So we've got to find a way to sort of recalibrate this thing, make it collegial, make it information sharing, interaction of views, and so on. And if we at least work on the logistics of the meeting, and I've asked, I don't know what's happened with it, but I think that would at least be a start.
I mean, yeah, we have before this kind of setting you shape, and it was before it's the board coming to us. During the constituency day, but then we have this. They stay in the same room for the whole day, and all constituency stakeholder group come, and it's different dynamic. Okay, we have so Sam, Dan, and then Klaus.
Okay, I'll follow a bit on what Mark has said and the human rights thing. It's about the board. It's not about FADI. The board has to see itself as a stakeholder in the process of how does the internet and human rights and ICANN, how does that Venn diagram pose some issues for ICANN? And we can talk to them until the cows come home or don't come home, to use a rural phrase, and it's not going to work. They have to raise their level of consciousness around the issues in that triad of those three things I mentioned. Has to take place with the board being a stakeholder in a bigger discussion. They have to say, we need to understand this better so we can make better, so that the decision-making inside ICANN within the multi-stakeholder model works better. But they really need to be talking to some other groups, whether they're boards or organizations, that are outside us, where they come as a stakeholder with a problem as opposed to the ICANN board where we bring them a problem. And until they get there, they don't have the level of awareness and understanding. Collectively as a board, bits and pieces may have it, but they don't have the level of understanding or the internal dynamic. It's a very complicated board, given what ICANN is. And so until they can be convinced that they need help as a stakeholder, we will just be throwing ourselves against the wall.
Marcus and I were talking about a bunch of these issues last night. What I'm about to say is not specifically about the board or about this group. It's more about the politics of persuasion in general. What I've learned over the years is you never start by talking about what you want, because for the very reasons Bill mentioned, that almost always turns people off. You really have to put yourself in the other person's shoes and say, what constraints do they have? How can you create advantage for them? Not how do you create advantage for you, not how do you get what you want. How do you help them? Because if you help them, they'll help you. But you have to start by putting them in the mindset that you're trying to help them. And that usually means speaking their language, not your language, because that's how you help them self-identify with you. And it's only after you do all of that that you have any opportunity to have any conversation about what it is you might actually hope would happen. And the truth is, even if something happens, you got to be thrilled if you get 20% of what you asked for, as opposed to complaining that you didn't get 80% of what you asked for, because that's the art of political compromise. You'll have more shots to get the other 10%, 20%, the next 10 times that you have a conversation. And what Bill said is absolutely right. Public conversation is the worst possible way to try to achieve outcomes. Got to have all that stuff lined up beforehand, with a whole bunch of one-on-one conversations. I would say the other thing that's important is that it's really critical that everyone speak with the same voice. And sometimes what that means practically is arming people with talking points, sometimes right down to the language that you say over and over and over again, so that everybody can say exactly the same thing to their individual partners. And it's only after you do all of that that you have some shot at actually getting what you want. But it's about building a collaboration and a sense of partnership that the other group is interested in some ways that you will create value for them, because if you create value for them, then ultimately they will create some potential value for you. But it's all about the sense that we did something together, because if it ever gets into confrontational, it's guaranteed to fail. And every party will leave unhappy because they will feel like that they're in an adversarial relationship, as opposed to we each managed to get part of what we want because we compromised some and we found some common ground. Does it mean everybody will leave happy? They won't. But they'll each get a little bit of what they started, and knowing that getting what you want may take 10 years. And that's okay. You just keep working on it. But you have to build the partnerships and the trust, and it has to persist and persist and persist. And you sort of nibble away at it. There's almost never a day that you can celebrate total victory. It's sort of incremental progress. But it's all about trust and partnerships. And it can't be us or them. Whichever side you happen to be on, it's got to be we, because that's the only way that you get there. And like I said, that has nothing to do with this group or the board. It's just sort of what I've observed over the years about trying to do behind-the-scenes political negotiations. It really is about personal trust, and it's about collaboration in the sense that people can trust what you will do and that you will trust what they will do. But it's about relationship building. Just a bit of philosophy.
Okay, thanks, Dan, for your intervention, and thanks for being with us. I think, Klaus, you wanted to say something.
I just want to say that I'm very grateful to Bill that he brought it up about the meeting between the NGSG and the board, out of the simple reason because over the last years, I mean, it was scandalous on both sides, and it has a reverberation really throughout everything. And again, Fadi is not the one who's directly addressed. On the other hand, he should be aware about it because he is the CEO, and at least we should mention it to him here and say, look, this is something important because this is a festering boil we have to deal with.
I just want to say I really appreciate Dan's remarks. I think that is key to our success, and it's going to be difficult getting there because civil society, as a rule, is not that collegial about coming up with common positions. But if we want to succeed, we're going to have to do that, I think. Now, in terms of what Sam was saying about human rights, I think we have a big problem at ICANN with respect to the board and human rights. And some of our younger colleagues said it after the human rights meeting that, you know, pound, pound, we need to educate the board on human rights. Well, I think that's a little bit dismissive of the capacities on the board. There are people on the board who understand human rights. However, I do wonder what advice they're getting from legal counsel on human rights, because if it is a typical Californian attorney, and I don't know JJ, although he's assuming mythical proportions in my mind these days. But so maybe he's giving them great advice on human rights and California law, but I doubt it. That's a problem. And so if we're going to succeed on the human rights issue and reach a common position where we figure out our own talking points on it, that's going to take quite a bit of work, and I don't think we can do it in a half-hour meeting here. We need, like, a project in the policy committee to figure out our common position and where we want to go with that, because it affects the public interest, it affects the way we're going to respond to the COE report, it affects the, you know, sensitive strings and all the rest of this, and I don't know how we come up with a practical proposition for the board and for Fadi until we get all of that outlined. So I just identify that as a problem area where we could do some constructive work together and come up with common positions. Going back to that little paper exercise of how do you think we could change, a couple of meetings ago, Fadi did a similar thing, and I fired into the black hole the proposal that ICANN should be doing some kind of regulatory impact assessment when it comes out with something. That is not the same as a public consultation where you put something up for public comments and leave everybody else to figure it out. A regulatory impact assessment does the work, assesses as best you can what the impact is on affected groups and the public interest. Basically, that's what it's all about. And that would help organize. It doesn't mean everybody has to agree with the public interest, regulatory impact assessment. In fact, you respond to that. But I think that would be a great tool for ICANN. I just put it on the table as one concrete positive proposition that we could make and rally behind and move the yardsticks a bit on this.
Rudy speaking for the transcript. I fully agree with what Dan was proposing, and I think we need to think on a process where we would be able to come with some kind of solution when we go to the board meetings. And even with Fadi, it's quite similar. Don't forget that during these physical ICANN meetings, most of the time they are just getting problems proposed. They don't get solutions proposed by nobody. Almost nobody is presenting them. Look, this is a solution. I think that as we are representing the public interest, you can go for anything and ask anything. But at the end, if they refuse, you're going back with nothing. And that's what I have seen the last couple of years. When we go to this type of meetings and discussions, at the end, the outcome is most often negative. Nobody wins anything. And I think that's what we need to change. If we want to succeed in what we want to obtain, we need to bring them a solution rather than asking them for solutions. It's the community that is asking for solutions. So I think it's better if the community stands up and says, look, this is something that could be a solution for your problem. They will listen. They will join you in the debate. And that's where I think we can reach to a positive solution. Picking up also on the question of human rights, if you say, look, this is how it could be solved. This is a proposal of solution. I think that we will get much more attention from the board and from Fadi also. Maybe it's a question when we can ask Fadi also, what do you expect from us? What do you think we can help you in solving your problems? We shouldn't be upset if he says that we have to work harder and so on, but because that's probably the answer we are going to get. We need more people being involved, so we have to work harder. If that's his response, well, we have to take the consideration of how can we do that.
Just to respond, Rudy, I don't think just we are like bringing problems. It's first, if even suggest solution, you need to build some awareness, I mean, within the board about the issue. If you can, we can bring a lot of solutions. They don't understand really the problem. They are not going even to understand that. So that, I mean, that's what I see here. We are not necessarily complaining. Maybe we can improve in the way how, okay, we kind of problem is taken and we suggest solution and make proposals. But I think it's need more work from us to build position and so on. So it's really involve everybody here. We are talking a lot, we are suggesting it, but at the end, we need people to get involved and to participate in drafting positions. So I'm happy with all the suggestions, but we need more people doing stuff. Yes.
You know,
since I got involved in ICANN, the framing that I always got, the narrative that came from board members, was always sort of like civil society is a pain in the ass. We're, you know, and if we raise concerns and if we push back on policies, somehow it's regarded as we're being difficult, not getting going along with the program, being sort of, you know, too orthogonal to the conversation, this sort of thing. But the fact of the matter is, every group that meets with the board has their concerns. Every group that meets with the board presses those concerns forcefully. Many of them do so much more vigorously than what we do. So I've always felt a little bit unhappy that if civil society behaves really pretty much along the same lines as other groups of actors, we get framed a little bit differently in a way that is not entirely constructive. And I think it's worth sort of just backing up for a second to the meta picture. How do we feel about how civil society is treated within ICANN generally in terms of the extent to which our particular concerns, our particular interests are taken on board and treated seriously and so on? One could point out, just as a simple thing, that there are staff members assigned to cultivate, support, develop outreach and engagement within the private sector, and there's nobody whose job it is to do that for civil society. Chris, the guys here, Chris and Joe, they're focused on the private sector. Washington, D.C. office is focused on how do we make the private sector more engaged than I can. And I've asked repeatedly, why is there nobody whose job it is to work with civil society, who actually comes from civil society, knows the kinds of concerns we have in our dynamics and so on, and can and work with us? And they started to try to address that a little bit by pointing Jean-Jacques Sahel to us, who Jean-Jacques is the vice president for Europe. And as you guys will recall, he reached out and said, you know, we'll help you do outreach meetings at a couple of meetings. But he really had no background in what civil society was about at all. And I spent so much time just trying to get him attuned to our environment that managing him and his participation in doing that turned out to be an enormous time suck. So, I mean, I would say one thing we could raise with Fadi is why not get some dedicated staff who have roots in the civil society environment, who know the kinds of issues and organizations involved, whose job it would be to work with all of us. Because really, as just an add-on to what other groups are doing, we don't get treated in quite the same way. And I think that's problematic.
We still have 3 or 4 minutes, and Fadi will come. And so I will really hear. I want to hear from those who didn't speak already. So Joanne, then Matthew. Yeah, please, Joanne.
Thank you. I've been observing for the last couple of days, and I've been on the peripheral of ICANN for a while. And a lot of the things that I hear is all the bad things or the negative things that ICANN does. And my opinion always is that no organization is all bad, no matter what you say. And especially for civil society, at the end of the day, it's about people. And people really don't like to hear negative things. They like to hear successes and relationship building and how you get along. And we're missing that point in representing, if that's what we're doing, that constituency. We talk about, I've heard about the PI public interest commitments and what we're unhappy with, but no one has said what it is that they're unhappy with. It's just a broad statement. So if we could identify the components of what we're unhappy with and maybe ask those questions to Fadi, that might be good as well. And the other thing, too, I haven't been around a lot, and I've known Fadi for a while because I've seen him in WESIS and still had Avery and whatnot. And, you know, one of the things that I don't understand is when a CEO or representative of an organization goes to another organization and they're doing some really good things, why it's not brought to their own organization for the people who are involved to get involved. Instead of reinventing some of the things that we want to do, we can build the capacity, build on what other organizations are doing and partner with them. So I don't know how the partnership works in terms of ICANN as a whole, but I'm saying civil society can really capacity build on what they want to achieve by partnering. The other thing I will say is this community engagement issue. I just want to touch on that for a second. When you come to ICANN, if you don't know all of the acronyms, you feel left out. And when someone's speaking and they say these acronyms, the first thing you're thinking of is, what does that mean again? And you forget everything else that they're saying. So if you want people to be involved in something, they have to know. And I know that there is the introduction to ICANN and all of that. I know that we address that. So what about if we go out to the community, instead of having them be part of ICANN and part of a constituency, is address some of the issues in community and get them involved. And then they can learn about ICANN and become involved. And that's one good way, issues being identified and addressed, and that's one way we can encourage them. Anyway, that's what I like to say.
Thanks, Joan. We try sometimes to really liaise with those outside ICANN in specific topics because it's really hard to bring them to get involved with the whole ICANN, but for a specific topic that interests them, that can be more easier. Not easy, but more easier. Okay. So I'm trying. So maybe Matt, Avery, and David. Matt?
Thanks. I was just going to support Bill's suggestion that we seek some kind of ongoing staff support. I think it's a great idea. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, a couple of things. One is one of the reasons why I think civil society demands may be more difficult than others is because others' demands can often be met by some financial sweetener, some piece of the deal that's improved, whereas we're always asking for something sort of fundamental, sort of behavioral, sort of policy change. That is a more difficult thing to affect. So I think that's part of it. I think in terms of the acronyms, it's something we hear. It's something any of us that use an acronym the first two times should spell it out and explain it. And it's just a habit that we all should get into. And I strongly support the idea of them having staff dedicated to civil society, someone from civil society with origins in civil society to do that. Of course, as soon as they join the staff, they're no longer civil society. But
okay. What I had to say has got a bit out of date now. But one of the things I wanted to, I thought the way Dan talked about having to present things not asking for what you want, but instead presenting it as a way in which you can help the other person. But I do think we are doing that. I think the framing of the human rights issue as a human rights advisory committee, we need to articulate that better as we think we can put together something that will help identify and solve potential problems early. In the same way as, the ESSAC does. It identifies potential problems early and gives that advice. We need to be saying things like, although this really needs this thing really needs a proper privacy, you need to talk to privacy authorities before rather than after, and that sort of thing is the sort of problem we should present a Human Rights Advisory Committee as solving. The one thing I do want to say, though, about the human rights thing is actually and this may sound annoying, there's an annoying thing to say, especially at this point, we shouldn't actually be talking about it to Fadi. It's an issue for the entire board, not for the CEO. So, yeah. So I think that's. I mean, I think trying to get useful answer out of Fadi is not going to be terribly. It's not a best use of our time. I think it's a very important issue, but really, that's a discussion we need to have.
I think Fadi is a member of the board. So. Okay, class.
It's a pity that Bill isn't in the room because I have some observation on the thing. First of all, I'm frightened about when I'm here the word civil society and the civil society, and they need somebody from civil society. Question here is what civil society? Because there are so many aspects and facets of civil society. And I've really got the feeling that when we're saying, okay, we need a liaison person, yes, it's a good idea, we need a liaison person. But on the other hand, we need also, we talked yesterday about breaking up silos. And I have the experience, as Bill has, with Jean-Jacques, and you might know that I'm hanging around here in Washington quite often. I'm doing the same thing with ICANN staff, who is not civil society. I'm spending hours and hours with Chris Montini in the office and trying to explain to him what's actually from my point of view or from things like that. And I think we have to not ask them to do something for us and give us a liaison so that we have one more channel or something like that. That's good, but we also need to do the operational from the other side. And also we need to be clear about what is civil society. For example, I can't operate from my point of view as civil society and as a civil society organization. I can't operate in that clear space of civil society alone. I need to cooperate with the private sector. I need to work and talk. Otherwise, I'm not operational from my point of view. So let's take it from both sides, not just say, okay, we need a liaison. I think before, when we ask the question for a liaison, we also have to put a little bit of work in from our side.
Yes, thanks, Klaus. It's just come late. Yes, Stephanie.
Thank you. I support what Klaus just said. Poor Chris Mondini nearly bounced Mark Rotenberg from the reception last night. He didn't know who Epic was. I mean, that's a failure on my part. I didn't realize Chris was our sort of outreach person in Washington, but I should sit down with him and say, okay, here are the NGOs in Washington, you know, and here's how they've been engaged in ICANN in previous years. So, you know, the poor guy, there's no reason he can't do a great job for us. I think his heart is in the right place and all the rest of it. So my question is, what are we going to say to Fadi? And may I reiterate my two propositions for your consideration? Number one, I really like the idea of a regulatory impact assessment tool that will help do a better job of determining the impact of decisions. It would work for all kinds of things, including the sensitive strings and all the rest of it, because let's face it, that handbook is not great in determining public impact and stop this kind of ad hoc determination of public interest. But I'd also like to apologize to anybody who's trying to contact me. I cannot get on the internet. Everybody else is on. Sob, and I'm not.
The extent to civil society engagement in Washington was at the beginning of last year a list of 23 NGOs in Washington area. That was as much as I can knew about civil society.
And many of them were not really NGOs.
And many of them might
kind of like the American Enterprises.
I don't know actually if it's on the list. I can have a look now.
Okay. I think we have 7 minutes. First, I will try also to see if we have any people in remote participation they want to intervene. Okay. Probably not. So,
can you recap what the issues we will raise with him? Boom, 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 boom.
Yes. I think first, public interest and engagement on internet governance. It's also about human rights. So we spend much more time about the public interest and several aspects from there about the public interest commitments and so on. I expect that we will spend much more our time there. Okay, so we have Sam and then Marina.
I just want to make a brief comment about Stephanie's proposal about a regulatory assessment tool. Ideas like that, including human rights and public interest, I think we have to put together what amounts to a two-page primer on what we're talking about that can be given to somebody who's only got about 2 minutes to read it. Because if we make those proposals in the air in general, most of the people we're talking to do not have a clue as to A, what it is, or B, what's involved in making it operational. And we should be able to say, this is the what, the why, and the how in 3 or 4 paragraphs so that they've got the primer to read before we start the discussion. Because you can have a great idea, but if it's outside their context to begin with, we're just talking to the wind.
Thanks, Sam. Valeria?
Just to make a comment on what David had said, I completely agree that human rights is an issue for the whole board, and we are developing different strategies to get to the board and to try to explain what are the issues to them, including developing materials that try to synthesize and summarize in a very clear manner with examples what we are talking about here. And we are discussing the strategies in the next conference call about ICANN and human rights that is taking place, so everybody knows, on Thursday at 4 o'clock Central European time, so next Thursday, if you want to participate in the programming and organizing the session that we're going to hold on this topic in Singapore, just join us for the conference call. We have a dedicated mailing list for that as well. Rafiq can pass the address afterwards. I just would like to disagree because I think that the CEO has a very important role to play in convincing the board and convincing the community and presenting the right strategies, the political pressure that is needed sometimes for some issues to move forward. He has pretty much done so in a very convincing manner with Net Mundial. In the beginning, people were very much skeptical and not wanting ICANN to be involved in that, and he played a key role. And if he wants and if he is convinced, I think that he could play a key role in this topic as well. So I think that we should not miss the opportunity to talk to him about it and express our concerns.
Thanks, Marilia. I was just told that Freddy will come at 10:35, so we still have time. Okay, I'm trying to figure out this. I'm not sure if Stephanie and Sam want to come up with that. Go ahead.
I just wanted to point out, unrelated to all this discussion, to say I am still under the pen holder on this discussion about the letter to the SIC about that we were talked about yesterday. Who in this group is particularly keen on having some input into that letter? If anyone would like to come and have a look. What?
Did you get what I sent you in terms of possible paragraphs in that?
I will check.
Okay.
But I've got a draft from Tony Holmes, so I would like to. Avery is the only person who's particularly keen. Yeah.
Thanks, David. I'm not sure if Stephen and Sam, you want to speak or just you have. Okay. We can wrap up this session and just you can have a short break for 5 minutes. So before that, do you want to add something or, I mean, any further comment or any suggestion? I guess we spent much time about public interest. I mean, it's really up on how maybe I can do the moderation. I mean, it's really, we are brief, straight to the point. But, I mean, we can start with other points if you want. What do you think? Start with the big issue, or we can start with the two other kind of small points. So,
I would have to say that I don't think the position of civil society within ICANN generally is a small thing. I don't think it's a small thing.
I mean, in terms of how much time it can take in terms of discussion. I mean, okay, we can follow the same order we had in the discussion within this session. Okay, so just to remind, it's public interest, I think engagement on internet governance, but also human rights, and civil society treating NICAN, NICAN staff dedicated for that. Stephanie, you want to add something?
Just wondering what you were going to say about civil society and the perception of it. Who's going to say that?
Well, I mean, we didn't really discuss if we have a lead discussing by
okay,
topic.
So you're not going to raise it?
We are going to raise, but there is no... We didn't have a dedicated, assigned person to do that, so... Okay, I see confusion in your face, Stephanie. We didn't discuss who is doing what. So it's open discussion, and I can manage to raise a point, and people will follow up.
No, the point I was querying was Bill discussed the perception of civil society at ICANN. And my question is, were we going to raise that?
Yes.
I would like to.
Okay, may I make a further point? I'm not getting anywhere with my points, but I'm going to raise another one. Having worked in government in a regulatory agency where I perpetually tried to get them to understand the importance of civil society, and ICANN, in my view, is a quasi-regulatory agency, just happens to be a multi-stakeholder one. So the political perceptions are the same. So if you're a big company that's making a pile of money, or you're a big player, or you're influential, then you are listened to. We are a ragtag band of organizations that if you cannot prove a direct link to public sentiment, press, PR, the possibility of a campaign. My life changed after the APEC riots in Vancouver. When there was a social media campaign and all hell broke loose, not to put too fine a point on it. At that point, politicians, bureaucrats, safety agencies started to take civil society a lot more seriously. There has been a pushback, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think that we suffer from the perception that it really doesn't matter what we say. So we have to figure out, I'm not suggesting riots here, let me be clear about that. We have to figure out a way of pointing out that we have agency. And I think we've had a lot of discussions, NPOC's talking a lot about our outreach into those communities. That's agency, you know? Like, we have to talk about how we achieve agency and why it's important for ICANN.
And can I just tell you that tomorrow at 10 o'clock from the ICANN offices, we have a webinar organized as under the title, What You Always Wanted to Know About Internet Governance and Never Dare to Ask for NGOs. And you are all more than happily invited either to join us at the ICANN office at 10 o'clock or online. And if you need the contact details, if you haven't had them, just ask me, Rudy or Sam or Laurie. Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Okay, still have 2 minutes. If you want to go out to take a short break. Okay, Walid, so the last word.
Yes, Walid. I actually wanted to support Stephanie's view. I've been in the area of civil society for over 8 years now, and I can tell one of the main factors of success is to rally behind a very clear cause with momentum behind you, that people have come together in one very uniform manner. Otherwise, you know, divided we are weak, you know. And so I'm not suggesting that we do it right now, it's just too limited time, but at least we can give the signs that we have that in our plan, or at least in our strategy, that We are affiliates to different civil society groups and organizations and sectors that have power behind them. It's not that we are weak. And we are working on strategies to help and promote our causes through those links. So we give the very strong sentiment that that is there. Otherwise, we are, again, going to lose.
Thanks, Walid. And just maybe kind of not sarcastic here. I'm just wondering how we can get many organizations excited about ICANN policy. That's a big challenge we will have to overcome. And that's the reality, Stephanie. I mean, we get members and we try to get people join us, but it's really about ICANN policy. It's not like SOPA or PIPA or any other topic that you can get if you rely it with you. Anyway, thanks, Stephanie. I think we really you have to be short, because I think people need just to go out and then be ready for meeting with Fed. Yes.
Just let me say, Rafiq, that you can't take a defeatist attitude. ICANN is abstruse, but I got people excited about standards. So as far as I'm concerned, hey, this is easier.
That's a kind of fetishism, I guess. Anyway,
I second that.
Okay, guys, you have few seconds, 1 minute, just you can want to go out, break, and so on. Thanks for those who were with us remotely. We will, I guess, resume in a few minutes. So, thanks, and please stop the recording.